We're on our last of our series of the Equipping the Saints, okay? Last one. I added this one because I felt like I'm kind of like Robert Morris. He said it's really not a five-fold ministry. He believes it's a six-fold ministry because you can't leave out the saints, right? So we've been talking about for 5 weeks, and I want to thank Evangelist Don Babin, Prophet Ron Campbell, Teacher Ed, Elder Ed Sutton, Pastor Randy Levins. I want to thank you for all those guys. I never have to sweat it when I'm out. I know that they're going to preach the truth and they're going to share the truth and it'll be spot on and people will get saved and touched. And so that's what happens when you have such quality people in part of your body. And we do. God's raised them up right here in the midst of us. Okay, I had a friend of mine. I'm not going to name her in case you don't like what I'm about to read. But she had a daughter that sent her this saying, or this letter. And I want to read it for you this morning. I've altered the words a little bit to make it a little bit more palatable. So listen up, okay? Because this is going to hit every one of you somewhere. Church can be hard. Church can be hard for the person walking through the doors afraid of judgment. Church can be hard for the pastor's family under the microscope of an entire body. Church can be hard for the prodigal soul returning home, broken and battered by the world. Church can be hard for the girl who looks like she has it all together. She really doesn't. Church can be hard for the couple who fought the entire way to the service. And don't raise your hand if that was you. Church can be hard for the single mom surrounded by couples holding hands and only perfect families, seemingly. Church can be hard for the widow and the widower with no invitation to lunch after the service. Church can be hard for the deacon or the elder or the pastor with an estranged child. Church can be hard for the person singing worship songs, but they're overwhelmed by the weight of the words or the lyrics. Church can be hard for the man insecure in his role as a leader of his family. Church can be hard for the wife who longs to be led by a righteous man. And church can be hard for the nursery volunteer who desperately longs for a baby to love. Church can be hard for the single woman and the single man praying God brings them a mate. Church can be hard for the teenage girl wearing a scarlet letter, ashamed of her mistakes. Church can be hard for sinners. Church can be hard for me. It can be hard because on the outside it all looks nice and shiny and we wear our nice clothes. We try to be at our best. I doubt that many people this morning, when you asked them how they were doing, they said, I'm doing horrible. It's been a horrible week. I've got this pain and got this ache. Most of us said, how you doing, brother? Good to see you. God bless you. Hallelujah. Yeah, good. How are you? I'm good. Right? That's what we do. However, underneath those layers, you're going to find a body of imperfect people, carnal souls, worldly, sometimes selfish motives. But here is the beauty of the church. Church isn't a building, a mentality, or an expectation. Church is a body. Church is a body. Church is a body. Church is a group of sinners saved by grace, living in fellowship as A-I-N-T-S, saints. Say, I'm a saint. Church is a body of believers bound as brothers and sisters by an eternal love. Not by a temporary love, but by an eternal love. Church is the holy ground where sinners stand as equals before the throne of grace. Not the throne of justice, the throne of grace. Church is a refuge for broken hearts and a training ground for mighty warriors. Ooh, I like that one. It's a refuge and a training ground. Church is a converging of temptation and invitation where sin is confronted and hearts are invited to seek restoration. Church is a lesson in faith and trust. Church is a bearer of burdens and a giver of hope. Church is a family. A family come together, setting aside differences, forgetting past mistakes, and rejoicing in the smallest of victories. church, the body, and the circle of sinners turned saints is where God resides. And ask, He's always faithful to come. So even on the hard days at church, when it seems to be the hardest day that you could ever come to church, the days when you're at odds with your friend, when you fought with your spouse because you're late once again, when you've walked in bearing more burdens than you know what to do, that you can even handle, yet you mask the pain and you put a smile on your face. When the scarlet letter under the microscope, when you've longed for a baby to hold or fought tears as the lyrics were being sung, when you walk back in afraid and broken after walking away, just remember, God will never fail to meet you here. He will never fail to meet you in the body, because He is the body of Christ. We are the body of Christ. And I want to say this. If you will let Him today, He will meet you where you are. He'll meet you where you are. Because you may have recognized yourself maybe more than once in that statement or those statements. So as we've been looking at equipping the saints, we can't miss the part about the saints, right? Understand, if you're a believer, if you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're a label. Whether you like that label or not, you're a saint. That just means you're a believer, that you love God, that Jesus Christ has saved you from your sins. If that's you this morning, you're a saint. So don't shy away from that word, even though some religious institutions have made it something more than it really is, okay? But all of this scripture, all the five sermons that have been given so far have been based on Ephesians 4, 11 through 16. I'm just going to read those and we're going to move on, okay? But I think these are the scriptures. If you come from a denominational background, you never heard these preached before, are you getting it in your spirit? How important it is that we follow the pattern that was instituted by the Apostle Paul. And how we need to understand how important it is to be a present-day five-fold ministry. Or sixfold if you want to count the saints. So I want to read this quickly. It says in Ephesians 4:11, this is the Apostle Paul, and it says, He Himself, he's talking about Jesus here, gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry. So you've been given a fivefold ministry in this body, and it's for you to be equipped to do the ministry that God's called you to. Everybody's been called ministry. I heard Pastor Randy last week said, when you leave, he said, you're going to go preach out there. You're going to preach somewhere. You're going to preach good or you're going to preach bad, right? Because your life preaches. Your words preach. So we're going to, it's like that song, Make Me a Vessel. Well, you're going to be a good vessel or a bad vessel. So he said, we put this pattern together for the equipping of the saints, for the edifying. Listen, it's so important you get this, for the edifying of the body of Christ, the building up of the body of Christ. That's the church. Till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to be a perfect man, a mature person, a mature believer, okay? To a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Listen, that's a great standard, isn't it? That's the perfect standard that we are to measure up to. Don't compare yourself to Joe Blow or Joe Christian or Mary Christian. We compare ourselves to Christ. Because you can say, well, man, I'm a lot better than old so-and-so. But are you better than Christ? Our comparison, our standard is Jesus Christ. That we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love. See, he changes directions there. He says, don't be that, but this. But speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things into Him who is the head, Christ. Christ is the head. From whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effect of working by which every part does its share. Every part does its share. Every part does its share. Do y'all hear that? Say, every part, does its share. Because it causes, listen, this is what happens. It causes the growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. He said that twice here, edifying the body, building up the body, the growth of the body. He said that's why we equip people in the church. That's why we equip the saints to go to grow the body, to edify the body, to build up Jesus, to spread the kingdom of God, to spread the kingdom message. That's what He's called to. You don't think you have a purpose in life? I wish I knew what the will of God was. I wish I knew my purpose. It is to edify Jesus Christ. It is to edify the body of Christ. If you need anything more than that, he's going to show it to you. But first and foremost, he said, be equipped so you can edify the body of Christ. Listen, without the saints, it's like an army that's just all generals. And there are no foot soldiers or nobody to carry out the orders. And so the generals just get together. And what do? They just talk and drink coffee and smoke cigars. You see, you have a fivefold ministry. If you have the apostle and the prophet and the evangelist and the pastor and teacher, and all they do is get together and exchange information, but they're not equipping the saints. If there are no saints to go out, then you're not going to have the body of Christ being built up. It's not going to grow. It's not going to, the kingdom's not going to advance. So you have an important job as soldiers in the body of Christ, as saints in the body of Christ. So this is what we need to look at. This is what we're going to look at, and we're going to go through it very quickly. We're going to go back to Ephesians 4, verse 1. I think I shared this in one of my messages. Ephesians 4, verse 1. This is Paul speaking. He says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, that means he has surrendered to Jesus, he surrendered it all, beseech you, that means that he pleads with you, to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. Say, walk worthy.
Walk worthy.
Have you been called?
Yes.
See, God has called every one of us. He has called us out. That's the ecclesia, the church. We're the called out ones. He has chosen you. Even before the foundation of the world, it says he knew you and he's called you. He's chosen you. Say, I'm chosen.
Yes.
You don't have to wait in the schoolyard for somebody to pick you to be on the team. God's picked you to be on his team.
Yes.
And we're all first place. He's picked us all first. So he didn't play favorites. So he's picked us. He said, I've chosen you. Y'all remember the testimony I gave when I came out from praying and seeking God, and Mary Lou said, what have you heard from God? And I just said, I heard that he chose me. And she said, well, that's not that great. You know, it's not profound. That's nice that he chose you. But then I got the card in the mail from my sister the very same day, from my sister in Kentucky, who had mailed that card several days before, never sending me a card like that before. And I opened it up, and on the front of the card says, for I have chosen you. And I knew that God had chosen me, and it was specifically to go and to do the work of the ministry. He had called me into full-time ministry to do the work that he's called us to today. But Paul says this, to walk worthy of the calling for which you were called. Here's the problem. I hear so many believers say, well, I'm just not worthy. How many of you have said that before? I'm not worthy. Come on, be honest. I'm not worthy. I can't pray with anybody. I'm not worthy. I can't serve. I can't help with the children's ministry. I can't help with the youth ministry. I'm just not worthy. I just don't have it all together. I'm not good enough. I'm not pure enough. I'm not perfect enough. Oh, really? So you're called and God's equipping you, but you're not worthy? You see, the fact is God made you worthy by the cross, by the blood of Jesus. So when you say, I'm not worthy, you're saying, God, you did something wrong. So you need to wipe that out of your vocabulary, out of your statements. That's like the I can'ts. You need to say, I am worthy because of the blood of Jesus. I may not be perfect. I'm on that road. I'm traveling. I'm maturing. I'm growing. I may not be what I'm going to be someday, but praise God, I'm on that road. I'm walking. I'm maturing. And that's what the fivefold ministry does. It teaches you to get to that place. But don't wait until you think you've arrived to serve God. Don't wait until you think you've arrived to pray for somebody or encourage somebody or to serve in some way. I got here early this morning. I'm driving down the alley. Man, there's trash everywhere. Trash. I mean, who did this? You know, and I think it came from that little brouhaha, that brew thing down the street. What's a brouhaha? I don't even know what a brouhaha is. And I and Brother Tim. Brother Tim's always here early. I said, Brother Tim, would you do me a big favor? He said, whatever you need, Pastor. You want me to go on a mission trip for you? Yeah, I want to do a mission trip to the alley. He didn't ask me that. I just said, would you mind getting a trash bag, some gloves, and clean the alley out? He said, Pastor, not a problem. You know, a lot of people would go, well, that's nothing. I thank God for people like Tim. They'd say, yeah, I'll do that. It's nothing. I said, it just looked bad for people to drive down the alley, come to church this morning. You got to, I guess you did, didn't you? You did clean it, didn't you? Right? Okay. I didn't go look. Woo. That'd be bad if you walked out. Pastor, I forgot. So, Tim's worthy because of the blood. He's worthy to preach the gospel because of the blood. All of us are, guys. We need to come to that place where We know that when Jesus says to, Paul says to walk with a calling. You know, walking, when they use the word walk, and it's used many times in Ephesians, that means the way, that's your lifestyle. That's your progression. That you're moving forward when you're walking. He didn't say walk backward, he said walk. So, and it's walking toward the calling that's on your life. And he said to walk worthy. That means to walk in light of the fact that you're doing this for the kingdom of God. You're doing this for God. You're a representative. You're an ambassador for Jesus. So that's how we walk worthy of the calling that for which we have been called. That's why I picked the song that we sang just a while ago. I said, while ago. Man, that is Texan, isn't it? I picked that song a while ago. We sang just a while ago. Man. Is he worthy? Is he worthy? See, some of you may have missed the chorus that says, the Lion of Judah who conquered the grave, he is David's root, the Lamb who died to ransom the slave. And then we come into the picture. From every people and tribe, every nation and tongue, he has made us a kingdom and priest to God to reign with the Son. That's from Revelation 5. He's made us a kingdom priest to reign with the Son. See, when you say you're not worthy, you're saying, God, you didn't do enough. Let me read some couple of scriptures for you. 2:9 says, but you are a chosen generation. Woo-hoo. A royal priesthood, say I'm royalty. A holy nation, that means you're set apart. His own special people, say I'm special. That's right. That you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. B, I love to watch you worship. I'm telling you, this lady, what her testimony, it just floored me what God has done in her life and what y'all have been bragging on her this week. And I just looked over there and I saw, wow. You know, you're worthy, B. You're worthy. You're changed. Philippians 3, listen to this one. Paul says this, and be found in him, in Jesus, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law. How many of you tried to live and be righteous according to your do's and your don'ts? Anybody? How many of you were raised in religion? If you did the right things, you were righteous. If you did the wrong things, you were unrighteous. Yeah, and we try to keep it according to the law. I mean, that was called legalism. Man, that is a horrible, horrible way to live, isn't it? From day to day, if I'm righteous, I'm unrighteous. I said the right thing, I didn't say the right thing. I mouthed off at somebody, then I blessed somebody, you know. And we live this way, and he says there's a righteousness that comes from the law. But then he goes on to say this, but that which is through faith, it's not that. He said, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. We are covered in the breastplate of God's righteousness. Our righteousness, the Bible says, is as filthy, stinky rags. Man, when I see the picture of the prodigal, I love that story. When the prodigal's running up to he's running up to his dad, and man, he is stinky. Man, he has been in the pigsty, Randy. He is just reeking, you know? He's got his plan of what I'm going to say to my dad. I'm going to tell him I've sinned against him, but sinned against God. Forgive me. I just want to be one of your servants. And his daddy didn't hear any of that. He said, bring the robe. Bring the ring, bring the sandals. He said, my son, listen, he wrapped that robe around him. And I have this picture that robe is a robe of righteousness that covers up all of our stink, right? Because our robes are a stinky, according to Nacho Libre. These are my stretchy. That movie's old now, so I need to quit using that as a reference. Younger ones don't even know. Yeah, it is a great theological movie. But all this has to do with our identity. Y'all understand that? Most everything we ever preach, when Basil's counseling or Betty or anybody that's counseling, it always goes back to identity. We got to know who we are in Christ. You got to know that you are worthy. You got to know that you are the righteousness of Christ. That just covers you. Amen. Okay, so all of that's to say this. This is how we walk of the calling. And he's given us seven things that I'm going to go really quick. I know I say quickly, but we're going to go through these quickly. It's in it. We're going to keep on Ephesians 4. We're just going to stay there this morning. Ephesians 4, 2, and this is the first part. The first thing we need to do if we're going to walk worthy of the calling, which we're called, is to walk humbly. You'll hear this in most every one of my sermons. God's called us to be humble. He didn't call us to be prideful. He calls us to be humble. Micah 6, 8 says this, He has shown you, O man, what is good. What is good? And what does the Lord require of you but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly or humbly with your God? He's asked us to do that. He said, if we're gonna walk worthy of the calling, first of all, we need to walk with lowliness and gentleness, is what it says in Ephesians 4, 2. Proverbs 11, 2 says, When pride comes, then comes shame, but with humble is wisdom. You've heard me say this many times, and you can go study it all you want to, but in the New King James Version, you just type in the word pride, just the word pride, and you will find it 51 times, I think. And in all those 51 times, you know how many times it's mentioned in a positive light? Zero. Cero. Nada. No way. It's never mentioned in a good light. So you will not hear me, hopefully, ever use the word proud or prideful or pride. And I know parents do it all the time. I'm so proud of my kids. But it always has a reference. Use the word pride. It's always something coming back on you. I've done something good, so I'm proud of my kids. And we're elevating our kids, and we're speaking something into them that I don't think we should speak into them. I don't think we should be prideful. I think we should be thankful. I think we should use the word blessed in place. I don't use the word lucky anymore. How many of you quit using the word luck? But you used to use it because you were so lucky. No, we're blessed. We're in position. God has moved us into position. There's no luck in the kingdom of God. And there should be no pride. There should be no arrogance. Because when you have pride, there's a fall that comes with it. And he says it right here. If you want to walk in pride, you're going to dismiss humility. You're going to dismiss wisdom. So I'm going to encourage you to start changing your vocabulary. Say, man, my kids blessed me by what they did. I was so blessed to see my son do this. God, thank you. And start giving the pride. Start thanking him and start saying, God, I love you. And I just celebrate what you're doing in my life. And don't beat yourself up if you have the slip and say, I'm proud. Okay? Don't get legalistic on me. Or people go back on Facebook, oh, I just put proud. I got to delete. I got to edit. I don't type that fast either, so I'm amazed at people that do. You're okay. The second thing he says is to walk with long suffering, to walk patiently. To walk worthy is to walk patiently. Galatians 5, 22 and 23, most of you know that, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long suffering. Say long suffering. See, that's not even a fun word, is it? I'm suffering long. Long suffering. That's just all these good words. You got joy and love and peace. Long suffering. And kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. Against such there is no law. Long suffering is another word for patience, but it actually means more than that. It means endurance, constancy, steadfastness, perseverance. We preached a whole year almost on stay the course. So if you're going to walk worthy of the calling, you need to walk with a consistency in your walk. You know, I know a lot of Christians that their walk is like a roller coaster. It depends on what day it is, whether they're up here going, yay, or they're going down here going, ah, you know, it's like, listen, that's not what God's called us to. He's not called us to that kind of life. We're not supposed to be up one day and down the next. We're supposed to walk in consistency. We're supposed to walk worthy of the calling for which we were called. Our walk with Christ should be like this. Jesus, I get to know Jesus as my Lord and Savior, and I'm going to keep growing. I'm going to keep, then once in a while you hit a little bump in the road. It should be a bump. It shouldn't be this. It should be like going straight down like some of those new roller coasters. It should be a consistent growth in the Lord. You know what? There's a way you can do that, Robert. It's read the Word. It's to pray. It's to be in church. It's to fellowship with other believers. There's a way to do it. It's not necessarily a formula, but it's staying close. It's abiding in Christ. It's abiding in His Word. It's remaining with Him. And He wants us to be on this consistent walk. So then when people see your walk, guess what? They're going to edify and glorify the Lord God who's working in you and through you. That's what it's about. We're supposed to edify Him, lift Him up. So we have this thing called patience that God's asked us to walk in. Some people go, well, I'm just not patient. Well, stop confessing that. See, when you say I'm not patient, that means you're confessing you don't have the fruit of the Spirit in you. Oh, if I pray, I'm not going to pray for patience because then I know the Lord's really going to test me. Oh, that is just malarkey. Why do you say these things? You're walking patience because Holy Spirit is in you. You don't have to beg, oh, God, give me patience. No, you don't. He says, thank you for the patience he's already given you. Thank him for what he's already deposited in you by his Spirit. To walk worthily is to walk in love. This is like a no-brainer. Bearing with one another. This is in the same verse 2. Bearing with one another in love. Love, love, love. Right? That's all we need is love, right? That's what the Beatles said. They got one song right. Walk in love. Agape. How many of you know what agape means? Or agape is really the actual way that guy on the internet pronounced it. Agape. 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 It's here's the definition for agape. Affection, goodwill, love, benevolence, brotherly love. All these point to unselfishness. All these point to doing unto others as you would have them do unto you. So when you say, well, bearing with one another in love, sometimes church can be hard. Bearing with one another in love. Because, well, Pastor, you just don't know what they said to me. Pastor, you don't know what they did to me. Pastor, you don't know this. Pastor, you don't know that. I do know what God said. He says, bearing with one another with love. Treat them like you would like to be treated. Brotherly affection, sisterly affection. John 13:35. Jesus had a lot to say about love. He said, by this all will know that you're my disciples if you have love for one another. Isn't it amazing that Christians can fight and squabble with the best of them, with the best of the world? Just get on the internet and look at some of the exchanges you see. For theologians and the debate and how they get each other and they're trying one another wrong or right, whatever they're trying to do. Christians can be pretty mean. And I don't see that in Scripture where we're supposed to be mean to one another. Bear with one another and then shoot them. Hold them up so you can hit them one more time before they fall. The old saying is we're the worst group of people. We shoot our wounded. Man, did you see how he messed up? Pow, you know? I'll teach you. You better serve Jesus. You better love Jesus. He died for you. How can you do that? And we judge people and we put them down and we call ourselves, hey, I'm bearing with one another with love. I'm just doing what I'm sure they would want to do to me, right? Walk in love. John 15:9, Jesus said, as the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. That means to remain, stay in it. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. See, it has a lot to do with obedience. You walk in obedience with the Lord, he's not going to tell you to go hurt somebody. He's not going to go tell you to judge somebody. He's not going to go tell you to berate somebody or put them down or talk behind their back. He's not going to tell you to do that. That goes against his nature. He's going to tell you to love them. He's going to tell you to love them. I remember when we were just starting out in ministry, like we were 19, right after we got married, we were helping the youth group in a little church on Bryant Street in 19th, First Church of God. And I remember, there were some kids there that were like, whoo, rough, tough little kids. And my wife had a way with kids. You know why? She said, my mother taught me. She said this. She said, you can love a child into doing anything. And we try to beat a child into doing something, you know? Said, you can love a child into doing anything. I would see her just love on kids. Just love on kids. When we have people in this room that you just need somebody to love on you. Or you need to love on somebody. You need just to say, man, I love you. I care about you. How can I help you? We're supposed to be that kind of people that we walk in this thing called love. Verse 3 says, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. To walk worthy is to walk in unity and peace. Amen? Yes. Amen?
Yes.
Unity, which is agreement. It's what Jesus, if you read John 17, it's about unity. Jesus said, this is what we should, I want you to be like me and my dad. I want us to be one. We wanted to walk in unity. We need to be together. When the church began in the upper room, guess what they did? They got together and they prayed, and they were in what? One accord. They were praying together. They were in unity. And that's when the church thrived. That's when the church took off. And listen, he says endeavor to walk in unity. He said endeavor, that means to really pursue it, to go after it, because here's the thing, the enemy wants to divide. That's his job. He wants to divide, conquer, destroy, whatever you want to say. The enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy. And he does that by separating families. He separates moms and dads. He separates children and parents. He separates people in the church, leadership in the church. All the time, he's wanting to bring division in the church so he can destroy the church and bring split. Have any of you ever been involved in a church split? Come on, raise your hands. You've been in church. Aren't they ugly? There's no picture of God in a church split. And I know they line up and they get on their sides and they say, we're right, and the other side says they're right, and God says, you're both wrong. I've called you to walk in unity. He says, endeavoring to keep unity. Endeavor unity, to be diligent about it. Because we can do so much more as we walk together as one than if we walk together separately. And we're divided and we have our own opinions and how we should do things. That's why it's so good to submit to authority. And know what authority is entrusted in the authority to lead and to guide and to come behind and support, not to talk behind, not to whisper behind and say, well, I would have been the pastor, I'd have done it that way. We've all been guilty of that, haven't we? Keeping spirit of unity, the spirit of peace. Verse 4. Told you I was going through these fast. There is one body and one spirit, just as you were called into one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. I like that part. He's in us all. The fifth thing is, if we're going to walk worthy of the calling that God has called us to, we're going to walk in hope. How many of you have hope? How many have an eternal hope? Yeah. Come on, eternal hope. Unless you... Beto, you have eternal hope. Come on, get your hands up. Okay, he's taking notes. Hope is this great expectation. Listen, you can hope for a lot of things, and a lot of things may not happen. But if you hope in the Lord, hope is not going to be deferred. God is going to answer your hope. God is going to fulfill your expectations if you trust Him and believe in Him, have faith in Him that He's going to do it. You have this great expectation that God's going to come through. He always comes through. Maybe not the way we want Him to, but He always comes through. When we step out of this life into the next life, you're going to go, wow, I was hoping this is the way it's going to be. I was going to get to heaven. We have hope, He says. And He's talking about, listen, He's not trying to give you a broad spectrum of the doctrine of His beliefs here. What Paul's saying is, because he says one Lord, one faith, one baptism. We know there's more than one baptism. He's talking about water baptism here. He's trying to give, and he said, listen, we've got to focus. If we're going to be unified as a body of Christ, we need to focus on the things that we can agree on. See, some of us, we have a real problem with other churches, what they teach. And sometimes, listen, if they're not teaching truth, I understand that. But we need to find those things that we agree on so we can work together. If we're going to be a kingdom church, that's what we do. We work with a lot of other churches. I don't necessarily agree with a lot of the theology, but I do know this. Do y'all believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Yeah. Do you believe that He came as a virgin birth? Yeah. Do you believe that He died for our sins? Yes. Do you believe that He rose from the dead? Yes. Do you believe He ascended to the Father? Yes. Do you believe He sent the Holy Spirit? Yes. Listen, I can work with that. You should be able to also. Instead of trying to figure out why they're not going to go to heaven and judging everybody, let's try to figure out how we can work together with the things that we agree on. That's when our community will change for the good. That's when people come to the kingdom of God. That's when you'll see starting to grow. Amen? Verse 7, he says, But to each one of us, grace, say grace,
grace,
was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. The sixth thing is to walk worthy, is to walk in the calling, is to walk in grace. I don't know, this maybe should be number one. 2 Corinthians 8:7, Paul says, but as you abound in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in all diligence, and in your love for us, see that you abound in this grace also. Great acronym, God's riches at Christ's expense. Grace, God's riches at Christ's expense. Grace really is the goodness of God, the mercy of God, the favor of God. You just get right down, study it, look it up in the Greek. just means the favor of God, His goodness. He extended grace to every one of us. Not one of you, not me, there's not anybody in this room, in this planet that deserves heaven. Not one. Not one of us. And He extended this thing called grace. He said, if you'll just trust me, I will grace gift you the gift of eternal life. It's a gift. You can't earn it. Jacob, you can't earn it. There's no amount of things you can do or not do that will earn us an entry into heaven. Because heaven requires perfection. And the only perfect one I know of is Jesus Christ. He said, you got to come in on my coattails. He said, you got to come in with me. I will introduce you to my Father. And I will say, they're with me. You ever been with somebody that was important? They were going into a venue and you knew you couldn't get in of your own accord. But somebody else said, hey, they're with me. Y'all follow me. Some of you go, no, I've never done that before. I've always had to sneak in or pay extra. Isn't it cool that when you get something, how many of you have been getting something free before, like to a concert or something really cool thing that you got to go free? Wasn't that fun? Somebody paid for your ticket. You understand that? Free isn't free. Somebody paid your way in. Somebody paid. Jesus paid the way for us. And He extends this thing called grace. And He says, we, not just to walk in, He said abound in it. Abound in grace. Man, the church, if the church could get a picture of how we're called to be people that love people, that extend forgiveness to people, that extend mercy to people, to love mercy, okay? If we could get a picture of what it's supposed to be like, if we could start walking in that grace every single day, we would see people like, we would see people come to the kingdom that you would never have thought would have come to the kingdom of God because they've been judged all their life. Not worthy, not worthy, not worthy. And God says, no, 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 no. Extend grace to them. Extend love to them. Extend mercy to them. I love them enough. I gave my son, I gave my life for them. Would you do the same? Give your life to them. Take, you know what I mean? I think when it says to lay down your life for your friends, I've got a different take on that. I know we use that scripture in the military terms or first responders that, you know, you love them that you'll lay down your life for your friends. You know what I also believe that means? Lay down your agenda. Lay down your rights so somebody else can come in and be saved and live. And live. Sometimes we get so caught up in our ministry or our theology, our doctrine, and we forget that these people, they don't know anything about anything like that. They just need to know somebody cares about them and loves them. That's how you're going to get in the door. That's how you get in the door. Verse 17, almost done. I know that word means nothing to y'all. So. It didn't mean a lot to Paul either, because he would say in conclusion, and then he would do another one of those really long run-on sentences. Ephesians 4:17. We're going to jump down to the 11 through 16 to the verse 17. This I say therefore and testify in the Lord that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk. He's talking about your walk. Okay? This is the way you shouldn't walk. He's telling you this is not the way you should walk. And the futility of the walking in the futility of your mind as you are walking in your flesh. And so much what we still do that occasionally. Right? Anybody? Can I get a witness? Some of you make your own decisions. You may walk in your flesh. That should be like all of you. Shouldn't be, but it is. Having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling. Can you imagine being past feeling? Being past feeling, have given themselves over to lewdness to work all uncleanness with greediness. Okay, he said that, but now he says this. But you have not so learned Christ. If indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, and the truth is in Jesus. Okay? Have you Jesus? Have you responded to Jesus? Have you given your life to Jesus Christ? That's who he's talking to right now. Okay, then if you have, Here's some things you got to do. Okay, you ready? That you put off. Say put off. Concerning your former conduct, the old man. Say the old man. Which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust. So that's something we have to do. We put off. How do you do that? Yeah. Who said that? Because you read the next verse. No? And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. You want to put off the old man? Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And that you put on, say put on, the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Here's the last thing I want to share this morning. He's called us to walk in righteousness and holiness. Nobody wants to preach that one. Righteousness? Holiness? What are you kidding? Yeah, you're getting legalistic on us, Pastor. You just told us not to get into legalism. But Jesus said, if your mind is renewed, if you put on the new man, then you're going to begin to walk in the righteousness and the holiness, the set apartness. Holiness, we made that word something that's not either. Saints, holiness means you're set apart. You've been called. You've been set apart for the work of the gospel to advance the kingdom of God. That's why everybody's been created to help him, to lift him up. That's your sole purpose in life. All this other stuff, marriage and kids and jobs and all, falls under the category, under the heading of God first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these other things will be added to you. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. He said, do that, and all that other stuff comes underneath that. And so we're walking, if we're giving our life to Christ, we are in right standing because of the blood of Jesus Christ. But he's just saying, if you're in right standing, walk in it. Walk in it. Walk it out. In the process of walking out the new man, you have to say no to the old man because the old man is always dogging you. He's always, that stinky corpse is always behind you. Hey, come back here. You know you need that. You know you want that. You know that you're not complete without that. And you have to say, no, I put on the new man. I've renewed my mind. I'm reading the scriptures. I'm getting the word of God in me. So I'm not going to drag the old man back and put him back on me and stink again. Walk worthy of the calling that which you have been called. Walk worthy. Honor him with your life. Romans 12, we shared this scripture so many times. It needs to be highlighted in your Bible. 1 and 2, I beseech you, therefore, brethren and sistren. I beseech you, that means I plead with you. Paul said, I plead with you by the mercies of God. That's how we get in the kingdom, by the mercy of God, right? Grace of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is just your reasonable service. Just your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is a good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. He said, it's not complicated. He said, it's not complicated. Everybody in here, you have a calling. Are you going to walk worthy of the calling? Are you going to allow the Holy Spirit to fill you, empower you? Are you going to listen to him? Are you going to be obedient to the word of God? He said, these are some things you got to do if you want to walk worthy of the calling. Because see, a lot of you in here this morning, you're not walking worthy. You're worthy because of the blood, but you're not walking it out. You understand what I'm saying? I mean, I've been there. Gave my life to Christ when I was 17, and there was a lot of times during my life I wasn't walking worthy. I was doing my own thing, going after my own stuff, trying to accumulate this, trying to please me. God said, no, I want you to walk worthy of the calling that I've given you. It took me a long time to get to that place. I'm not saying I've got it all figured out or I've perfected it yet. I'm still walking it out. But you got to start somewhere on your walk. You got to start today as a good day to start your walk. If you've not been walking worthy, it's a good day to start walking worthy. You know, that's what I love about God. It says my mercies are new every day. My compassions, they don't fail. My mercies are new today. My forgiveness is fresh. I got you covered. I've robed you with righteousness. Would you just take hold of your identity of who you are in Christ? The old man is not who you are. That's who you used to be. See, so many times we keep thinking we're not worthy because of our past, and we allow our past to dictate our future. When he said, "No, that's your past. It's past." And we keep thinking, well, if I was worthy, I still wouldn't be doing and messing up in the same way that I've been messing up. And God says, but that's because you're allowing your past to still hound you and dictate to you and remind you and bring condemnation on you. But now you need to know today that you are the righteousness of Christ because of the blood of Jesus, that you can walk in a way that's worthy. And you can honor him with your life, and you can please him with your life. You don't have to keep serving the enemy and giving him all of this glory because you keep falling and falling and falling. God wants to hold you up today and give you a new life and a new perspective and remind you of who you are in Christ. You know, it's interesting. The book of Ephesians, he talks about walking, walking, walking. This is what I'd like you to do. Read the book of Ephesians this week. Just 6 chapters. And you'll see that he keeps talking about walking, walking in the light, walking in wisdom, and all these things. And it gets down to, he talks about husbands and wives in chapter 5. We use that a lot in our counseling. He talks about families. He talks about children, how to raise your children. He deals with the issues of life and all through Ephesians. It's just a great book to read for understanding of how we're to walk this thing out. But then he gets to chapter 6. That's where we all find putting on the armor of God, right? That's where we always go. If you want to put on the armor, you got to. It's in other scriptures, but the most detailed one is in Ephesians 6. Put on the whole armor of God that you may what? Stand. Okay. Put on the breastplate of righteousness, the helmet of salvation, the belt of truth, the shoes of peace. Take up the shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit, pray always. And I got to this, and I was looking at it as we're concluding this morning. The last thing he said was, pray for me. To Paul said, pray for me, that I may be bold to share the gospel. Because see, his bottom line for Paul was, I want to build up the body of Christ. You understand that? After all that he said, all these instructions, all this download he'd gotten from the Holy Spirit, he said at the end, pray for me that I might be bold to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because he wanted to see the body of Christ grow and exceed and advance in the kingdom of God. That was his intent. And that's God's intent for you this morning. That's his intent for me. That we be a part of an active, growing, maturing body of Christ. Amen? Would you stand?